This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen. I'm the president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagles Saving Nations. My website, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. Check it out. It's apostolic, prophetic. Eagles Saving Nations is a try to stop this insanity where they're trying to topple the republic and move us into pure communism, a new world order. We've got to get back to Pentecost. We've got to get back to our roots. Apostolic leader, Don Beasley, Dixon, Illinois. Welcome back, Apostle Beasley.
How are you doing today? It's good to be back.
Again, name your church in case somebody's in the area and they need to attend.
Turning Point City Church in Dixon, Illinois, hometown of Ronald Reagan on the river in Dixon.
I wish Ronald Reagan was leading America instead of this other guy we've got.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Well, we wouldn't have an invasion taking over and illegitimate fighting age army ready to fight us.
I'm telling you, it's ridiculous what's going on. It's almost hard to believe, but you watch it, you see it happening on the television every day, and it's right there. It's not a joke. It's a real thing.
No, it's not a joke a bit. The enemy is wanting to topple the republic, a nation under God, God's laws, God's morality. And they're wanting, you know, which goes into areas of making man in the image of God for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, freedom, because we're made in the image of God. They want to take all of that away and make us a pawn in the new world order, mm-hmm. where they can control us. And if we don't obey, then they cut off our food supply. They arrest you. They kill you, whatever. But that's where they're going right now with this whole thing. And only the church, Don, only the church through the Holy Ghost can stop this.
I believe that with all of my heart. I as I read history, you know, there's a lot of times people talk about how that maybe the Holy Spirit had a period of time where the Holy Spirit wasn't on the earth or wasn't working or had been lost or whatever. And I don't buy into that. I think the Holy Spirit is always, since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be here until it's removed when Jesus comes back and judgment comes on the earth. But I just don't think, though it's been here and available, it's up to us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and what he's doing at any given time.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not our first discussion on the Holy Spirit. We actually even covered this point that he's bringing up, that the Holy Spirit has been here since the beginning of time. That, again, one God manifested in three persons, and we went into even Genesis, we went into the beginning, and we showed where the Holy Ghost has always been here. You know, the reality is if you want to serve God, you have to serve all of God. If you reject part of God, the Holy Spirit, how do you serve him? How are you effective? And half of the churches in America outright, mainline churches under the Federal Council of Churches, which is under a communist covering, they outright reject that part of God. They reject it. They don't need it, they say. They reject it. It says it's not for today. They reject apostles and prophets. They reject sin, and they ordain sins of abomination like homosexuals, bringing in drag queens. I mean, because they reject God. When you mm-hmm. reject the Holy Spirit, Don, you're rejecting God.
Absolutely. Yep. That's a fact. You know, it's no different today. When you look at today, like on the day when Pentecost came, there were four type of people present at Pentecost. There are people who believed. There are people who were afraid. There are people who doubted. And then there are people who are full of unbelief. And we still have those four types of people today. And more we have this total unbelievers who, just like you say, reject outright, just reject completely the Holy Spirit, have anything to do. Then there's doubters. You know, doubt's a huge thing that the enemy uses in the hearts of people. And then, you know, just even more today, you see this fearful aspect as we come through COVID, and they're mastering these fear techniques on people. And what I've discovered is that only the true believer filled with the Holy Spirit can overcome their doubt and rise up and overcome the fear that's being projected onto the entire planet by a really evil, by Satan, but through evil cohorts with him.
Well, you're totally correct. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I have point number one, the Holy Spirit is a person. Note, the Holy Spirit is not a force, in it, a second-class God. The Holy Spirit is vital to know and serve and obey the Great Commission charged by Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has feelings, can be sad, angry, and insulted. You know, some people like to say it. I mean, that's actually demeaning to God himself. I mean,
yes, absolutely.
It is not an it. It's a person. It's God.
Right. Yeah, God, you know, that's the Holy Spirit, you know, was here doing God. Like we talked yesterday a little bit about how the Holy Spirit is God's power broker in all that he does. But he's here, and like Jesus said, I'm going to go away. So when Jesus was here, he was working in the power of the Spirit. But he said, it's good for you that I go away because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And I have so much trouble with people who deny the Holy Spirit because Jesus said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to guide you into all the truth of the things that I taught you. And he's going to give you comfort. He's going to be your counselor. He's going to be all these things to you. He's going to give you power and strength. And then all of a sudden we say, well, we don't need him anymore. So I'm like, well, did Jesus come back when I wasn't looking or something? And we don't need him anymore because I don't know. Like we talked about how you can serve Christ and not have the Holy Spirit today in the world we live in. And rather than needing him less, we need him more than ever now.
Isaiah 63:10, I mentioned it yesterday. It's worth mentioning it again. For they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy. He fought against them. People don't realize that when you are rejecting God or you're just going directly against the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you are actually fighting God, and it can come a point where you become his enemy and he fights you.
Absolutely. No, I mean, that. I think that's what it tells us when we look in Galatians, when it talks about, you know, these two kingdoms are at enmity, the spirit and the flesh are at enmity with each other. It means war. And those, that kind of the word intimacy, that means you fight to the death.
That's right.
There's no peace treaties. There's no, you know, coming to terms with each other, living together, whatever. But you fight to the death. And then John, it says, you know, James, if you become a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God.
That's right.
And that's one of the things I think that what I discover about the Holy Spirit is that's the part in me that he's the one who speaks to me. The more that you put him out of your life, the more that your conscience becomes seared. And the more that he's in your life, the more that he puts your conscience back together so that it becomes, I mean, very, very sensitive. And so before you even say things, while you're thinking things, while you're doing things, he'll speak to you and says, no, don't do that. Do this instead. This is a better way to do that. He will lead you away from things that offend him and away from things that so that what you're talking about, he can be offended because he is a person and he's in a relationship with you. And his relationship is to fully achieve the relationship of Jesus Christ's redemption inside of us.
Well, you said some powerful statements, you know, offending, resisting the Holy Spirit, where you become a seared conscience. You have a seared conscience. Mm-hmm. You know, many people, they go to church. They hear the word. It convicts them. They hear it. They hear it. They hear it. They hear it over and over and over and over. And that conviction, the Holy Spirit's trying to reach them. And finally, the Holy Spirit is grieved. He no longer convicts them. You know,
right. People
can, Don, become the walking dead.
Absolutely. I think that's when the Bible said the Holy Spirit, when Jesus said it's coming to convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. And so he talks about that. And then to convict the world of righteousness because he's no longer here. He who is righteousness has gone to be with the Father. And then to convict the world of judgment because the enemy stands condemned. So those are the three big things the Holy Spirit does, and that's a lot of stuff, but those are three huge things that's his work right now. And the conviction of sin, but like what you said, if we become seared of conscience from the conviction of sin, then you have no way to be drawn towards the righteousness. He can't convict you of righteousness that's in Christ, because it's the sin that you're rejecting that is making you unrighteous, and Christ is the righteous. And then also, you can't even understand what we're supposed to do operating as sons of God, because we don't understand the enemy has been condemned. And so we end up in this, in a very anemic religious state.
Well, you're right. Acts 7:51 says, "You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." And that's what we've been discussing just now. Always resisting the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. And if you look at history, their fathers continue to go into slavery because of rejecting the Holy Ghost, rejecting the Holy Spirit, rejecting the Word of God, the morality of God that was set up. They constantly rejected, and here it calls them, you stiff-necked. Wow.
Yeah, I think that was interesting. When Isaiah, in chapter 6, when Isaiah goes into the throne room of God, and it's a very interesting deal there to me. He goes into the throne room of God, and when he sees who God really is, this is a prophet of God, a holy man of God, and he sees who God really is, and he just falls on his face, and he starts crying, "Woe is me, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips." He basically is saying, "I come from a people who don't tell the truth about you, because I don't tell the truth about you, and we don't tell the truth about you," because he said, after what I've seen today, we don't even know the truth about you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is to do, is to teach us what he taught Isaiah that day. And Isaiah cried out, and an angel, an angel there took a coal of fire off the fire and touched his lips. And the moment that angel touched his lips with that coal, he heard the voice of God crying, "Whom can I send? Whom can I send?" The reality the Holy Spirit does by bringing this conviction to us, then we can actually hear the voice of God. We can't even hear the voice of God before we have this true conviction that happens to us. Then you go a little bit later on, and so the Lord said, "Who can I send?" He said, "Here am I, send me, I'll go." And he said, "How long?" And the Lord tells him to go and preach this basically for the rest of your life to people that don't have ears to hear, that don't have hearts to receive, that are callous. This is what you were just talking about, the fathers. So it's not a new thing, but it's been going on forever, this whole thing. But we need the Holy Spirit, and we need to have the Holy Spirit on our ministry and on our prophetic words that we speak to people, so that it brings about this conviction of sin, so that the power of Jesus Christ can bring this powerful healing to us in forgiveness, and not just forgiveness. James, or in the book of James, or 1 John, it said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We talk a lot about forgiveness today, but we talk very, very little about the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hebrews 10:29, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?
Amen.
Now, my definition of grace is time given when one's in the Spirit, in the body, to examine themselves and judge themselves, because when the Spirit leaves their body and their body is dead on earth, then God will judge them according to the Word of God, and grace for that person is over. Now Jesus is judging them as the judge. Grace is over.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's another misconception, I think, is this. We hear this today, grace, grace, grace. And it's you hear more. What bothers me, it doesn't bother me so much to hear it when the people who deny the Holy Spirit, because they can't even, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't even know what grace is. But what really bothers me is when I hear Pentecostal, charismatic, you know, third wave people, whatever, when they're talking this grace, 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 because they're slowly pushing the Holy Spirit to the side for whatever, to do their own thing or whatever. But grace, the real grace of God, like we act like grace only comes in the New Testament. The Bible in the Old Testament is full of the grace of God. And when he didn't smoke the people when they should have been smoked.
That's right.
But the reality is grace is the most powerful thing in the world. The Holy Spirit comes to empower us to be able to fulfill and walk in the full grace of God in Christ Jesus in our lives, which is the to be able to live now what he purchased for us in his life and his resurrection. But sometimes we're just waiting. We all think we're going to get that all fixed when we get to heaven. And sometimes I wonder, are you really sure you want to go to heaven? Because, I mean, if you think the Holy Spirit's powerful now, you wait till we get before God in judgment. It's going to be unbelievable. And people are going to, and there's a passage, I think, in Matthew, when Jesus is talking about that, and they're standing before God in like 7 or 8 or something like that. And they're actually, they're telling God, you have to let us in because we did this, this, and this. And he said, depart me, I don't know you. But they were arguing with God, we're your people, we did this, cast out demons, we, done this and that and whatever. And they were doing things that we consider that. And that's what bothers me, because these are people that think they're doing things in the Spirit. But he's saying, I don't know you because you have not been receiving the Holy Spirit's leading into righteousness and holiness.
Yeah, powerful. Matthew 12:31, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Again, if you continue to reject the truth of God so grace may abound, you get convicted, 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 and you continue in sin. It's like somebody going to your church. They're living in open adultery. You're preaching. It hits them, but they don't change. They don't change. They don't change. There comes a year when it's over. It's over. There's no more conviction. And we've talked about it. They have grieved the Holy Spirit, and there is no more grace for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a fact. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about grace and whatever. When I think about the Holy Spirit and overall and all that's going on, and the thing that stands to me is that it's a biblical concept that's been prophetically promised throughout the Old and the New Testament. It's been physically fulfilled, but it was physically fulfilled in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's been fully demonstrated in both the Old and the New Testament of its power and its strength. And it's completely generationally duplicated. And then we have it today. And so when we talk about this, I don't know what people are talking about when they say, they have an argument or disbelief or disagreement. And, I think that when I think about the Holy Spirit and what it does, and it's supernatural stuff, it always reminds me of when the Greeks, they had the pantheon gods and whatever, and about the 5th century, they came up with the whole concept of allegory, because they did not have, they could no longer in their enlightened mind, could they any longer tell these stories of these pantheon gods and the things they did, so they allegorized them. And that's about the same time the church began to pick up on allegory and started turning all the stuff about the Holy Spirit and God the Father and the things they're doing on earth and men and whatever. They turned them into allegories. And then, they have all these weird stories about stuff. And so we don't need the Holy Spirit to be here, because now we have all these goofy allegories and stuff like that. And, it just reminds me, there's a statement that says that for those in unbelief, no amount of proof will suffice. But for those who believe, no amount of proof is necessary. And so it really comes down to a measure. And this Holy Spirit, to me, it comes down to a measure. We can call it hunger. We can call it desperation. But the greatest thing that Jesus said the Holy Spirit was going to do is lead us into all truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. Truth is not a thing. It's a person. And the Holy Spirit is here to lead us into that. And if you don't have desperation for truth, you don't need the Holy Spirit. If you don't have hunger for God, you don't need the Holy Spirit. But if you have a desperation for truth and a hunger for God, you can't do without the Holy Spirit.
Well said. The person of the Holy Spirit has intentions. The Holy Spirit has discretion, gives direction, loves, testifies, teaches, shows willingness and prays. Nehemiah 9:20, you also gave your good spirit to instruct them. Did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. Mm-hmm. Done.
Amen. I think that, the people that are listening today, that are hearing this, people that if you're a person that understands the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is important to you, I would say press in, more than you ever have before, because in the times we're living in, you need the Holy Spirit more now than ever to lead you and guide you into truth. If you're a person that's on the line, so you're a person that has fear or unbelief, then I would tell you, you need to go hang out with people. Stop hanging out with people who build more fear and more unbelief in you. Read the Bible and then go hang around people who will teach you what the Bible teaches. They're saying what the Bible, they're not saying, I don't believe this. They're saying, this is what we should believe and we need to press into it. Get around people who can lay hands on you and impart to you the Holy Spirit. And only the people that have the Holy Spirit can impart the Holy Spirit to you. And then hang out with people that can activate the Holy Spirit in you through prophetic words. Because in the days that we're heading into, and all that, like we've been talking about, all the stuff that's going on, we're going to need people to be have the impartation and the activation of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak words of prophecy, to lay their hands on people and to heal them, to give people the words of hope that they need, and to share the love of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of his grace to them, and more now than ever.
The storm is coming, like you mentioned, and just like when the disciples were in a chaotic state as far as that time in history, under the persecution of the Romans, etc., and the boat, when they thought it was going to go down. You need God. You need God like never before. You've got to have the Holy Spirit working within you, living through you, manifesting, giving you instruction. You know, John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He will testify of me. Mm-hmm. We've got to have that assurance. We've got to have that comforter. We have to have one within God himself to minister to us. Done?
Amen. The thing that the Bible says that, again, you know, this, all these different things, it says that when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up in your most holy. And that's one of the biggest reasons why we need to have consistent times of praying in the Spirit, is to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. And when I read that, what that means to me is that, and then you get the same thing in Romans chapter 8, where it says that we pray when we don't know how to pray, we pray in the Spirit. We pray God's perfect will for the saints, and we pray what we don't know how to pray. God helps us to pray the right things. And so what that says to me is that when you're praying in the Spirit, you're beginning to pray and prophesy into your own spirit and into the realm around you above what your mind can comprehend or perceive. And what happens is that your spirit grows out, and then you grow into what the Holy Spirit has prophesied and made you aware of in that. And that's what it really means to build up your soul. When you go back to that one that talks about, you just talked about getting water and food for our spirit, that's praying in the Holy Spirit and building ourselves up in our most holy faith, like Jude said to do, is that that's what it begins to do. It feeds our spirit with water and with the bread of life that we need, and it helps us understand things that we can't understand except by the Holy Spirit.
Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's what you're talking about.
Yes, amen. Yep, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And we need to, so that's why the Bible says that a man who speaks in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians, you know, he's talking in 14, he says, follow the way of love eagerly and desire spiritual gifts. But I mean, that desire means to be desperate for them. Especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but God. And that, to me, that's very interesting, that when you're speaking in these tongues, you know, you're speaking to God. And that and he says, no one understands that he utters mysteries with the Spirit. So when we're praying in the Spirit, we're uttering the deepest mysteries about God. But even though it's not registering in my mind, it's registering in my spirit. And then as I begin to walk with God, the Holy Spirit will lead me. I think that's how he teaches us the things that Jesus taught the disciples that they need to know. He takes us into another level. He prophesies it by the Spirit into our spirit, and then he leads us in the physical realm to live that out, even though we haven't even, in our mind, we don't even understand what that is yet. But he leads us into that because he makes us be able to do that for our, so that we can become who we need to be in him, because he said it's for ours. It strengthens us and it encourages us and it edifies us.
Amen. Acts 13:2. As they ministered, worshiping to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Once again, he can give us clear direction. He can tell us exactly and help us make decisions.
Amen. I remember one time, that reminds me of a story. One time, I've only seen this happen a couple times, like this Acts, what you're talking about there in Acts, was it 13 or 16 there, where they did that?
And yeah, Acts 13:2.
13, yeah. But they prayed to the Holy Spirit, and he said, set us apart something. And I was in a service, I was in a meeting one time, and we had a Bible college, and they were doing all this work with this college, and so they had to break it up into three pieces. So we had a college, a credentialing arm, and then we had a missionary arm, but they couldn't all be together. We had separate boards and whatever. And so they didn't have any of these people, so they needed a missionary to go to China. And so we get in this meeting, and this my friend, he said, he called a whole bunch of people to breakfast. He's kind of a miser, a little tight. So he invites you to free breakfast. You might want to stay away from it because it might not be it's because he's up to something. And so he invited us out to breakfast. And we're in that. He said, we're going to pray until somebody here gets called to go to China. And I'm thinking, my goodness, we're going to be here all day long. And we prayed for about 20 minutes. And this man got up, that it's a friend of mine, and he had a church of a couple thousand people. And he said, I just talked to my wife in the last couple of weeks about how I really feel that God's calling us to go to China.
Wow.
Do this. And I was the first, I think it was the first time ever in my life that I ever seen this actually happen. And they laid hands on him. And that guy's still working there right now, works with all these uncles in this underground church there. When they went there, he had a less than a one-year-old child. And him and his wife agreed to go there with a less than one-year-old child. So it was just absolutely amazing. And I think that stuff should still be going on today.
Amen. I could give so many testimonies how it is, how God has shown us people's faces, and we found the person, got into the building. You've been watching, listening, The Warning Program. This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen, President of World Ministries International, Eagle Saving Nations, website worldministries.org, worldministries.org. I've had apostolic leader Don Beasley talking again on the Holy Spirit, the need for it. We must have the Holy Ghost. We must be baptized. May God richly bless you.